Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
All right, so we are in our series entitled The Culture of the Kingdom. We're doing a study through the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, we're going to do a session on one of my favorite subjects in the Bible. It wouldn't be necessarily my number one. I probably got like maybe five tied for number one. But this is one of my top favorite subjects in the Word. It is so powerful to get this revelation. Session 32 is entitled Promises About Eternity. Promises About Eternity. You could call this session Eternal Rewards if you wanted to. Either one of those terms would be a fitting description. And this is a fun one. This is a fun idea. I want to tell you this. If this is not a subject that you've thought a lot about, maybe you've never thought about it, maybe you've never heard of it, maybe you've only thought about it a little bit, I want to encourage you, this morning can change your life. This morning has the power to change your life if this is not a subject that you're already deep in. If it's not an idea that you already think a lot about, have great clarity on, this morning's message can absolutely change your life. It is a powerful subject. So first, just want to talk about the abundance of information on this and then just kind of define it a little bit. So we're talking about promises about eternity. We're going to live forever. As believers in Jesus, we're going to live forever. He gave us salvation, that gave us the gift of life. We now have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. But there are things in this life that we can do, that we can participate in, that will actually increase your inheritance in the age to come. There are things you can do, or not do, that will actually increase the good life that you have in the next age. This is a profound teaching that's not talked a lot about, but it is one that Jesus taught an incredible amount about. Jesus had more to say about this than any other author in the Bible, any other person speaking in the Word of God. Jesus talked about the subject of eternal rewards, the idea, you know what a reward is, the idea that you could get a reward, not just in this life, you could get a reward in the life to come, and the life to come goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. So when you get a reward in this life, typically it's like a sucker, you eat it and it's gone. You get a reward in this life, it's a bonus, you know, on your on your credit card account or whatever, because you did the rewards points, okay? You spend the reward points. I knew I'd get there. You spend the reward points and they're gone. The rewards we're talking about for the age to come, they're eternal. They never stop. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So if you actually have a choice between investing in a reward in this life or investing in a reward in the age to come, you want to go for the one to the age to come every time. Okay? There are nearly 100 passages that I know of. There are nearly 100 passages that I know of. Who knows how many more? I've got them written down right here. So if you can see my notes here on the front page, this whole paragraph is just Bible verses, just addresses. And if it's something you're interested in, ask me later and I'll give them to you. This is a profoundly developed subject in your Bible. The idea that if we do these things, our inheritance will increase in these ways in the age to come. I know of nearly 100 passages. I'm not saying that's all of them. That's probably not all of them. But I'm going to go ahead and call it 100 for the sake of argument. No, nearly 100 Bible passages that talk about if we do this and this, we will receive these things in the age to come. Additional things. Rewards. This makes our lives so much more connected to eternity than we ever thought before. This makes what we do now, how we respond to mistreatment now, how we respond in the area of humility now, how we live now actually matters, not in a heaven or hell sense. That's settled with salvation. In a sense of how much is in that room of yours upstairs that Jesus is preparing for you. In a sense of what is your resurrected body going to be like in the age to come? You're going to get a resurrected body. To what degree? What capabilities? I'm dead serious. The Bible's got over 100 passages describing the promise of rewards in eternity based off of the way that we respond and carry our hearts now. This is profound. This will change your life if you get this message. This will change your life. Because all of a sudden, what you do on a Tuesday has continuity to eternity. Now all of a sudden, the way that you respond to people and situations, it's not just do good for good's sake, it's do good because you're going to wind up eternally benefited for real. This is going to be one of the most profound shocks in the body of Christ when people stand before the Lord and they receive eternal rewards for the things done in secret. They receive eternal rewards for things that they did because Jesus said to do them, because there's going to be a lot of believers that show up before the throne that were never even thinking about eternal rewards that are going to get them anyway because they did the things that were the points of credit. The things that Jesus said, if you do this, that the prophets say, if you do this, that the apostle said, if you do this, then you can see these specific things in the age to come. There's going to be so many that are going to show up and they're going to be shocked. Because here's the thing about God. He is totally, 100%, completely unfair. He's too good. He gives good gifts. And his pay scale is absurd. Okay? You do something that in our minds is worth this, and he'd give you $1 billion for it. You do something that's like, give a cup of cold water. Jesus said, you give a cup of cold water, you will not fail to receive an inheritance for that act in the age to come. A cup of cold water? For real, cold water, a cup of it. A cup of cold water. Yes, it will be remembered for everything, forever. That act of kindness will be remembered forever. This is such a profound subject. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount makes over 30 references. It's three chapters. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there's only three chapters. In three chapters, Jesus makes over 30 references to eternity and rewards in the age to come. This is great news. This means he's serious. If you make one reference, maybe I don't really know what to do with that. 30? In three chapters? It's kind of like every other verse. I mean, this is a significant subject in the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, Jesus, as far as a concentrated passage, I don't know of any passage in the entire Bible that has more references to eternal rewards than Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The second one I would think that's probably close, but maybe not quite there, is the beginning of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I think there's somewhere around maybe 18 references to eternal rewards in those two chapters. That's pretty significant as well. Both of them, by the way, are Pastor Jesus talking. Okay, so the two passages that have the absolute most incentive description about eternal rewards, it's both out of the mouth of Jesus. One in the foundation of the church, the Sermon on the Mount, the culture of the kingdom. He's trying to establish what normal Christianity is. And two, to the church at the end of the age, Revelation 2 and 3, to provoke the church at the end of the age, it's going to walk through the most difficult time, to walk also in the most commitment to godliness. Jesus, on both sides of this, is calling the church to really love the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, yeah, and if you do, you don't just get a check mark. You get eternal glory. You get rewards forever in eternity. This is profound to me. The fact that Jesus gave 30 references in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, three chapters. The fact that he gave that many references in such an introductory concept, and just in his intro sermon to say, hey, here I am, I'm the new teacher in town. He gives 30 references. This means that this is a part of basic Christianity. It means every believer has access to this. This isn't for special believers. This isn't for mature believers. This is for you and for me and the person sitting next to you. The Lord desires that we would lock hold of this thing. Why did Jesus teach on this so much? Let me tell you, Jesus used many tools, many forms of motivation in order to try to call us as believers to live holy. I mean, you could probably think of, 10 different examples of Jesus encouraging holy living, encouraging people to walk with God, to do what is right. He encouraged people from a lot of different angles. His primary motivational tool, however, the one he used the most. So if you put it all together, you're like, how many times did he say, do right because it's right? He said that. Sometimes he's like, do this because it is right. It is good. It is proper. It's the way that things ought to be. Sometimes he just said, I want to appeal to your human senses. It's just right. Just do it, man. How many times did he say that? You compare that with how many times he said, because of obedience to God. You want to do this because it's obedience to God and God is worthy of your obedience. He said that quite a bit. How many times did he say, do right because that's what you'd want others to do to you? The golden rule kind of a concept. Don't do them wrong, do them right because you would want them to do you right. He used that quite a bit. Not near as much, though, as the occasions where he motivated his disciples to live according to holiness by using the promise of eternal rewards if we do the right thing. Let me say it again, because that is a profound statement that I want you to go and see it in the Word. I want you to prove it. We don't have time in a, 40 minutes or whatever this morning to be able to unpack all this in its fullness. I hope this morning to provoke you. I hope to bother you this morning. For you to be bothered enough that you go look into these things to see if this is true. This can change your life. This is a profound message. Now, I just want to give you real clearly the premise that we're talking about. And that is rewards are worked for. Salvation is free. You can't earn salvation. Anybody who tries or wants to or talks about it or preaches about earning salvation is lying to you. There's no one good. There's no not one. No, there's no amount of good you could do to earn Jesus's salvation. That's a free gift. The only way we get saved is by no merit of our own. But part of the reason that there's confusion, part of the reason that there are different camps in the body of Christ that say, well, no, you got to work for your salvation, is because there are a ton of verses that talk about working for stuff, but it's not for your salvation. It's on top of. It's eternal rewards. Let me read it to you this way. This is Matthew 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, 27. This is Jesus talking. Jesus said, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and with his angels, and then he will reward. When he comes, when Jesus comes back, then he will reward each person according to what they have done. According to what they've done? Yeah, according to the stuff that a believer does, they will inherit not only salvation, they will inherit rewards according to what they've done, which means you also won't get rewards for stuff you don't do. Now, this is a profound message to live out of in a daily reality because it starts to get you to check your emotions, to check your thoughts, to check your responses, to check your knee-jerk reactions and go, wait a minute. Just, I would encourage everybody to memorize Matthew 16, 27. It's about the second coming of Jesus. We like second coming of Jesus. That's the best thing ever. That's the transition of history. That's when the page turns and we begin the next chapter in forever. When Jesus comes back to rule the planet in physical form. When the Son of Man comes, he will reward each person. Reward. Rewards are not gimmies. Rewards are not default. Rewards are worked for. I love my kids. There's a lot of stuff I do for my kids just because I love my kids. But there are some times where I give my kids rewards and it's based off of what they do. If you do this, I'll give you this. If you don't do that, you ain't getting that sucker, kid. Ain't no way. Ain't no, I want to give you the sucker. I actually really want you to have the sucker. But you are not getting that unless you do. You act right and don't do this, whatever. That's what rewards are. We all understand rewards. Jesus understands rewards. Jesus' mouth says, when I come back, I will reward every single human being according to what they have done. This is not salvation. Your salvation has nothing to do with rewarding you for what you've done. You cannot earn your salvation, or Jesus' death on the cross means nothing. You cannot earn your salvation, but you can earn rewards. And Jesus very much wants you to. Very much. So much so that he said these kinds of statements over and over again in the Word. I want to reward you. I'm going to reward you when I come back. But the reward is going to be accordance to what you do, what you say, what you don't say, when you really wanted to say that thing, when you don't say. It's according to the way that we respond to him and his teachings. Now, I want to give us a little bit of perspective here. Jesus, the teacher who taught the most about eternal rewards, is the only one that lived in heaven for eternity before he started teaching. Okay? So you got all these other prophets. You got the Apostle Paul. You got all these others that are talking about eternal rewards, but you only got one man from heaven. And he's the guy that talked about it the most. Now, why would he do that if this was like an off idea? If this was supposed to be fringe? Why would he be recorded as the one that talked about the subject the most, unless it was something that was so important and something that was actually a bit of an insight into the way that heaven is? Jesus is like, listen, I've been there. I really want you guys to experience it to its fullness. I know how to get you there. I am going to begin to motivate you through the promise of eternal blessings. If you will walk according to these ways, if you'll walk according to these purposes and promises, then you will experience the fullness of God in the age to come. You will have rewards that are specific to your acts of obedience. It's not like just a general reward package. Well, you did this many things, you get reward package A. You did this many, you get rewards package B. The rewards are specific to every single act you have done. Every act will be remembered. Every act of cold water. Every single deed. Jesus will give rewards according to what you've done. There'll be like merit badges in the kingdom of heaven of the way that you lived your life, the way that you responded to the gospel, the way you responded to love and invested in other people and helped other people. This makes our life have meaning. Profound meaning. Every single day, the Lord is watching. He's not watching to smite us. He's watching to reward us. As a father who earnestly desires to give good gifts to his children, earnestly desires, he is looking over the balcony of heaven at your life going, I cannot wait to reward you. I cannot wait to give you more. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Listen, those of us who in this life feel like we have gotten the short end of the stick, the Lord promises to balance all this out. And in 10,000 years, you will not even recall whatever light and momentary afflictions you had during this 80-year internship or whatever you get. Okay? You're not even going to remember it. It won't even matter. It will not be a subject of conversation. You will be living forever, however. He will balance all this out, and even more, he will imbalance all this out. He will give you abundantly more than you could ever ask or think, according to the riches that are his in Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, 19 through 20. It's so interesting. We think about the Sermon on the Mount, and a lot of times, because, you know, especially in this series, we've been talking about it as the introduction to Christianity, and it is. We wouldn't normally think about the Sermon on the Mount as the authority on eternity, but it is. Jesus talked so much about eternity. In his entry message, in his introductory sermon, he's trying to call believers from that moment all the way forward, I want your head in the clouds. I want you thinking about the future. I want you thinking about the age to come. I want you thinking about all the incredible things I want to give you, but it's based off the way that you live your life. There are so many rewards. He says this crazy statement. It's a crazy statement. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. You're only going to live for a few years. Then you're going to die. Why would you make your whole life about a minute? Why would you spend all of your energy trying to amass treasures for yourself when you're just going to die and lose all the treasures? Why would you do that? That's so crazy. You're going to live for eternity. So let me give you right counsel. Instead of storing up where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, I want to implore you, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store up. Think about what that means. Okay, so think about the, you know, those crazies that are building bunkers and, you know, trying to prepare for the end of the world. They're storing up canned goods. All right? How many canned goods do they have? 5 or 500 or 5,000 or more. They have stored up for themselves canned goods. Okay? The concept of storing up means heap up, lots. Get more and then go get more. Then figure out how to go get more. And then as soon as you can, get some more. And then build the bunker bigger to get more. Jesus says, I really love this idea. I just don't want you putting it in the bunker downstairs. I want you putting it upstairs. And you will be so glad you did. When you graduate, you stand before him and you get to see what you stored up for yourself in heaven. You're going to think back on this message and go, I am so glad that crazy man convinced us all to live for eternity. I am telling you right now, you have the ability to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But you do it through the following of Jesus, through the Sermon on the Mount, through forgiving, giving, humility. I mean, you do it through the weapons of the kingdom, not through any natural means. Jesus actually knows we're going to live forever and that we use this internship, this 80 years, 100 years, 20 years, whatever you get. You get this internship to store up for yourselves treasures in the age to come, and you only get one opportunity to do it. You can either use your life storing up for yourselves treasures here, not thinking about treasures at all, or storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jesus is encouraging us, I want you to be about the business of treasure storage. I just want you to go about storing the kinds of treasures, earning the kinds of treasures, that when Jesus comes back, he's going to go, look at that one. Let me give you every reward for what you have done. This is how we get eternal rewards. It's so powerful. Jesus was trying, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount, to create a culture of rewards, that thought process, for it to not be foreign. Right now, I just want to confess, I think this is a pretty foreign idea in the body of Christ. This is not one that we live out of mostly. It might be a peripheral, it might be something we heard one time, might be something we've never even heard before. Some of you are in the room are looking at me going, that's in the Bible? Are you serious? This is supposed to be something that is cultural. Jesus said it 30 times in 3 chapters, his intro sermon. He was trying to establish the concept that we would live like this is true. That this would be a normal part of reality, normal part of our conversation, a normal part of our decision making. I really want to do this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. Jesus used this subject to provoke us to live godly. Now, here's what's crazy. Jesus is the funniest to me. Jesus says, do right because it's right. And if we don't do right, we're in trouble. Do right because it's right. But if we don't do right, we're in trouble. But if we do right, not only did we do right, we're not in trouble, we get eternal rewards. It's the double blessing for obedience. The Lord desires greatly to call us into greatness and to reward us lavishly. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere, he was showing us something a little intimidating. It's a lot intimidating. It's very intense. Do you know what the beginning of wisdom is? We all know it. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. The fear of the Lord is the very beginning of smarts, the very beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is a very good thing. But don't forget, it's fear. It's little me, big God, holy, and I've got to somehow operate before him, recognizing he is big and awesome and glorious. The fear of the Lord is the beginning point of wisdom. Well, let me tell you another fear of the Lord moment. Jesus taught us heaven is assessing us. Heaven is assessing us. What you're doing, what you're not doing, how you're living, how you're not living. This is terrifying. Oh my gosh. He's also gracious and compassionate, abounding in love and mercy. But he is assessing us. Look at this verse, Matthew 5:19. This is nuts. Matthew 5:19 says there are going to be people in heaven that are called the least in heaven. They're going to walk around with a t-shirt that says least on it. Probably not. There are going to be people in heaven who heaven assessed, saved, but least. Snap. Do not be that person. But they're going to be that person's. That's a real group of people. Look what it says. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. They will be in the kingdom of heaven. They will be saved, and they will be assessed by heaven as least in the kingdom. That is terrifying. However, the one who practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Did you catch it? Practice and teach. Live it and disciple others into it. If you live it and you disciple others into it, you will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You will be on the great side of the scale. There is a sliding scale in heaven. Oh, yes, there is. See, down here, we're all born into different circumstances, into adversity, into some with health, some without health, some with money, some without, some in good position, some in difficult, this part of the world, that part of the world. We're all born into interesting situations down here, and our lives have a scattered experience. In the age to come, we get to decide our position. This age, it was decided for you. Now what you do with it, you get to decide. Are you called least or greatest or anywhere on the scale in the age to come? Because this is the words of Jesus, who was in heaven, who knows what the system is like. He understands how the system of heaven operates. He was there for quite some time. He made it. He comes down and he teaches on it profoundly. He teaches on it repeatedly. In his intro sermon, 30 mentions to eternity because he's trying to get us thinking about that forever. And the wise man and woman will. And the one that dismisses this will get the shock of their life, probably in not the greatest way. Showing up before the throne, and just imagine staring into those eyes of fire and him saying, "Hey, did you read the Sermon on the Mount?" "Sure did. We did a study on it at church one time, Jesus." "Good, good. What about that eternal reward thing?" "Oh, I didn't believe in that." Least. There are going to be people called least. We need to stomach that. Read the verses. Read Jesus' words. There will be those in the kingdom of heaven, in heaven, called the least. And there will be those called the greatest. And the way that we do it is we practice and teach it. The commands of Jesus. The lifestyle of Jesus. What did Jesus say do, don't do? We live it, we teach it. We live it, we disciple it. We live it, we encourage others into it. That's how we become greatest. And our refusal to practice it and our refusal to teach it is how we wind up on the other side of the scale. And there really will be people in heaven forever with the least t-shirt. This is real. Jesus is so after your greatness. Why would he tell us this? It's not doomsday. It's not to pronounce your fate. Oh, you're stuck. You're never going to be one of those great ones. It's to convince every one of us to be one of the great ones. Do you know, in the economy of God, all 1 billion of us on the planet could be called greatest? In the economy of God, because he has no lack of resources. He has no lack of effort, no lack of energy, no lack of position. He has an abundance. He's infinite in every way. He is actually trying to provoke 100% of humanity, not even just the saved. He's trying to provoke the lost to become saved and then be on the track to greatest. This is Jesus talking to the masses. There's a lot of lost people out there that we're even hearing this message. And Jesus is like, "Hey, I want you to be called greatest." The reason he teaches it is so we would do it. He doesn't teach it to condemn us. He teaches it because he is a giddy father who can't wait to give good gifts to his children. But there's a lot of those gifts that are contingent on our behavior, on what we do. Your salvation is free. Rewards are worked for, and he so desperately wants us to work for those rewards. And work for those rewards really looks like this. Follow Jesus. That's what work for the rewards means. He says, love your enemy. He wants you to actually love your enemy. He says, be meek. He wants you to actually be meek. He says, pray, fast, give. He actually wants you to pray, fast, and give. If we will follow the commands of Jesus, even the least of the things that he said, he'll see it and he'll reward us. This is profound. This changes everything. Because now your life, your little life, that you're like, "Well, little me, I don't have that much going on. Life seems kind of boring or simple, or I don't know, I don't seem all that, you know, glitzy and glorious." None of that matters. You're going to live forever. Your eternity can be epic. Epic. Depending on how you hold your heart now when somebody does you wrong. Depending on how you handle your time, how you handle your finances, how you handle your life and the inner workings of your heart. Jesus wants you to be great, but he will not force you to be great. It is an option. You have the choice. And he defines it again. Just think of it. 30 different references in three chapters. And it's not like the Sermon on the Mount's the only place. Remember, I told you there's 100 passages. So there's places all over the Bible where you can learn about this and go, how do I do it? How do I be great? What are the specific things I need to be focused on? There are so many things that make your head spin. At the prayer room, we did a 14-part Bible course just on eternal rewards because there's that much to talk about. And really, it probably could have been a 30-part. We just didn't have the clarity on it at the time. There is so much information in the Bible where this is God trying to provoke us to live for him. Why eternal rewards are important. They get us thinking about the long game. You really, really are going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever, either in heaven or hell. Everybody. There's nobody that doesn't live forever. Everybody does. Even the people that don't believe in forever, they're going to live forever somewhere. Everybody lives forever. It really makes sense to think about more than a minute in the future. You know, like let's think a little bit more down the road. 1,000 years from now. 1,000,000,000 years from now. Even just a few hundred years from now. You are going to live forever. Jesus wants us thinking about the long game. These eternal rewards, they keep us focused in this life on stuff that matters. You can spend your whole life, what does it profit a man? To gain the whole world but lose his soul. You can spend your whole life working on stuff that doesn't matter worth a flip. You could wind up wasting your life. Saved but wasted. What a terrible line. What a terrible thing to even have as a potential prospect of our future. Saved, but your life was wasted. What were you doing? You didn't listen to anything I said. Terrible. Eternal rewards keep us focused in this life. They keep us focused on what matters. They call us higher. The prospect of eternal rewards calls us higher. I want to give you three verses from some of the apostles in the New Testament. This is Colossians 3, 1 Timothy 4, and then 2 Peter 1. And we'll read these verses one at a time. All of them are talking about your eternal inheritance. They're talking about your eternity and what is going to become of you in the next age and in the time to come. And it has everything to do with an inheritance that is received as a reward. The increased measure of your eternal inheritance as a reward for what you've done, not just the fact that you gave your life to Jesus. That is the beginning point. Nobody can get a reward in heaven forever that hasn't at least given their life to the Lord. And I'm telling you this, the one who's like, I'm going to stay saved and I'm not going to do any of this eternal rewards nonsense, they will absolutely be shocked at how incredible their life is in heaven forever. The least in the kingdom still has the greatest deal going. The least in the kingdom is going to still be such an incredible upgrade from this life and everything that we know. But it will also be very apparent to them and to everybody else how they lived. It will be clear forever. Look at this. Paul in Colossians 3. Whatever you do, your job, raising your kids, dealing with the situation, going to school, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not men. Do the thing like you're doing it for God. Instead of doing it for the person, instead of doing it for the system, instead of doing it for the paycheck, do it for God and think about that. I'm doing this for you. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Your service, your attitude at work, your attitude with that situation, with this thing, with at school, your attitude, Jesus is looking. And he wants to reward you and give you an inheritance if you will serve in that scenario like you're serving him, not serving man. 1 Timothy 4, godliness has value for all things. Godliness, obedience, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Godliness holds promise for the life to come. Say it differently. There are rewards for godliness, and they show up in eternity. Godliness holds promise for the life to come. That is so awesome. Yes, for this life too. Godliness has merit and value now. But you're going to be dead in a minute. You know, it's just a number of minutes. 1,000,000,000 minutes from now, you're dead. But you live forever. This life matters this much. We don't want to live our lives like this is the only one we got. We want to have godliness which holds promise for the age to come. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A rich welcome. You'll receive a rich welcome. There are various versions of welcome. I want a rich welcome. I want my actions now to follow me into eternity. But just think about the eternal God who is not bound by time. Doesn't it make sense that in his version of reality, our life has connectivity to not only a decade from now, but a billion years from now? Doesn't that just make sense when you're talking about the eternal one that created everything? Doesn't it just make sense that he would create a system wherein the stuff that we did a year ago, 10 years ago, 10,000 years ago is still connected to who we are and how life is? That's the way that it is. That's how this thing works. Eternal rewards help us make sense of our current difficulties. There's so many times where it's like, it's so bad. I just think about all the promises that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount related to persecution. Like, persecution is no fun. And sometimes do right because it's right just isn't enough when you're being persecuted. You need something with a little bit more teeth to it. Jesus gave it. Jesus is the one that said, blessed are those who are persecuted. Theirs will be the kingdom. He's the one talking about increased measure of inheritance based off of suffering through difficulties now. Deal with your difficulties now like you're serving Jesus, not like you're serving that situation, not like you're stuck in that situation. Have a right attitude. He's watching. That's why over and over again, he kept saying in the Sermon on the Mount, your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. He sees it. No one sees it. He sees it. No one cares. Oh, yes, someone does. He cares. And he's keeping account. He is assessing your life and your heart response, and he loves it. He's not doing this to judge us. He's doing this to reward us. But rewards are not given. They're earned. They're earned by just taking him seriously. Oh, you actually want me to give, pray, fast, forgive my enemies, have a right attitude, serve like I'm serving you and not like I'm serving a situation? You actually want me to live like you're real, like I'm really bought at a price? You actually want me to really live this way? And if I do, I get eternal goodies? I'm in. I'm in. Do you see how this can change your life? This changes Tuesday. Tuesday is no longer the second day of the work week. It's another day for eternal rewards. It's another day to respond rightly and feel the smile of heaven and know the inheritance is increasing. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The exhortation of Jesus is to absolutely be about the business of storing up treasures, just not in this life, not on this side. He wants these blessings to be real. Jesus said in Matthew 5:12, Matthew 6:1, he's talking about these rewards. He wants this to be an idea. For some of you, I can still even see it in some of your eyes. You're like, I don't really even know if I believe this. Just read the verses and ask the Lord. I don't need you to believe me. I just need you to believe the Bible. So just go look at the Bible verses. Forget everything I said. Go look at the Bible verses, and you have a conversation with Jesus. He wants these things to be real to us. He wants this to be real, this whole system, this whole idea of the eternal blessings. He wants them to be real. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Reward. Don't discount that word reward. Don't make that mean something it doesn't mean. Reward means reward, and you know exactly what a reward is. You understand what a reward is. There's no explanation needed. Jesus is the one that used the idea. It's Jesus. This isn't scandalous. This is the Son of God talking about how to make heaven right for you. This is the Son of God actually knowing it will be the primary motivational tool that will move you out of complacency into embracing his purposes. He knows that the pay scale of do a cold drink of water now and receive a blessing that goes on for a thousand, a billion, a trillion, a gajillion years? He knows the promise of that has the absolute most power to shift your soul, to shift your perspective, to shift the way that you invest your time and energy, and he desires it. He wants to reward us. Matthew 6:1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. This is part of the other side of the equation. You cannot have reward. You can do the thing wrong and not have a reward. All right, I just want to be really clear. The choice is yours every second of every day. And it's not a decision of, is God going to be mad at me? It's going to be, how much can I get out of this? I want to milk life for all it's worth. I want to be the guy that shows up and Jesus goes, dang, you were kind of like about this, weren't you? You like really, really believed this and bought into it. Well, yeah, because you told me. So there's a way that I could have no reward from my Father in heaven. Who wants that? I'd like no reward from you now, please, Father. Who wants that? Not me. He says there's a way to handle every situation where you get a reward from your Father in heaven or you don't. The don't isn't punishment. It's just not reward. I want rewards. I want to be about this more than my kids and those suckers. I want to live my life like this is true. And I'll tell you this, as you do, you actually get to enter into partnership with Jesus in the most profound way. He's inviting us into partnership with real benefits and rewards as a result of the partnership. Because when you partner with him, when you do the least of the things in the kingdom, you're helping advance his kingdom. It's not your kingdom. It's not church kingdom. It's not American Christianity. You're advancing the kingdom of God, and Jesus really, really likes that. So you're partnering with him in moving the kingdom of God forward, and as a result, he goes, oh, well, this is a partnership. I get and you get. You get later. You get some benefits now, some blessings now, but you get an eternal inheritance as a result of living this way before me all of your days. I could go on and on. I'm not gonna. I want to encourage you, get a hold of this. If this is an idea that is new or new-ish or renewed, and it's not one that you're living in on a daily basis, get a hold of this. Look at these Bible verses. If you just want a safe way to start, just look up the word reward in the Bible. Just look up given. In fact, I would even encourage you to look up when the Son of Man comes, because a lot of those verses wind up saying the exact same thing. There's multiple passages. There's so many passages. This is not a small subject. Here's what I'm trying to convince you of. This is too big of a subject in the Word of God for you to be unfamiliar with it. This is a massive subject, not just a lot of information. It's information that empowers you to walk according to the fullness of your purpose and to actually wind up receiving rewards forever. There are going to be some of you that you're going to come up and thank me in 1,000 years. You are. I'm telling you right now, let's mark it right now. You're going to thank me for this morning. You're going to go, I am so glad because I did it. It was new to me and I went after it. I started studying those verses. You were right. Well, Jesus was right. You just knew a couple verses. Thank you for introducing me to that idea, though, because now look at my house, man. Come on over here and see this thing. And I will. I will come to your house and I will eat your cookies.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.